When I was in Israel a couple of weeks ago, and we were heading toward the Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Tabor, we had to get out of our 50-person bus at the base and get into little shuttle vans that carried 7 or 8 people for the 10-minute trip to the top of Mount Tabor. And as we started up, we were going up a narrow road with about 6 switchbacks. And the road was so tight that if another van was coming down, they had to wait and they couldn't meet at the corners because it took the entire corner to turn. And as we're going up, I looked out and I saw the whole side of this mountain. It's about 45 degrees. And it was covered with boulders that are scattered around the size of the altar. And they stick out of the ground maybe 6 or 8 inches. And between them is this dirt and small rocks and scattered patches of grassy weeds and little scrub bushes that had been windblown. And just amazed me what it took for Jesus and Peter and James and John to walk up that hillside. They must have taken a path that just switched back and forth between all of this. And I knew that Jesus was being driven there by the Holy Spirit. He had to go there. He knew that. But what did it take for Peter, James, and John to trust him enough to put in this effort and to get to the top? So when our van got to the top, there's about a 3-acre space that is relatively level, and there's a parking lot and a wide walking path with low stone walls on the sides that go up to a church, the Church of the Resurrection, or the Church of the Transfiguration. And we went in and we had our prayer service there. And after the service, we were given 20 minutes so that we had free time to just go look around. And I went and I looked at the valleys and the countryside all around it. The view is gorgeous, just all these valleys around this hillside. And then I walked down the path where the stone wall is. And I looked over the wall into a flat spot on the mountain, and I could just imagine Jesus coming up there with Peter and James and John following him, and they get to the top, and the three disciples, who are tired and worn out, sit down on this large rock there, and Jesus moves just a little out in front of them. And then he's transfigured. I can't imagine Jesus' face shining like the sun, that his clothes were just pure white. And the fear and the awe that must have taken over these disciples who saw this. And then while this is sitting there, standing, they're sitting there watching this, Moses, representing the law, and Elijah, representing prophecy, appear with Jesus. And I can see them dropping to the ground out of fear, and Peter saying, "Hey, this is a windy area up here. How about if I build 3 shelters so that we're all taken care of? I can put together a shelter for all of you." And while he's saying that, this bright cloud, the same cloud that came over Moses when he was on the mountain to receive the laws, came over Jesus and Moses and Elijah And the voice of God speaks from the cloud and says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And by this time, Peter, James, and John have to be scared, down on the ground, trembling of the fear of what they're seeing and hearing, the voice of God and this cloud of power overtaking everyone. And Jesus comes and he touches them. And when he touches them, I could imagine the reassurance and the fear leaving them. And then Jesus takes them and says, "Okay, let's go." And on the way down, he says, "Don't tell anyone about what you've seen until after I'm resurrected." And they listened. They listened to what Jesus had said, because the power of God spoke to them and said, "Listen to him." And we're called all the time to listen to God. It's the Holy Spirit within us speaking to us. And we need to listen. We need to be aware, and we need to listen and follow what we are told. That wasn't the only really transforming event that while I was in the Holy Land, there were a lot of them. The one that struck me the most was at the church of Peter's premises. This is a little stone church right on the bank of the Sea of Galilee. It's right down out the front doors and off to the side. And it's built on the location that they believe where Peter lived and where Peter fished from. And I could see that if he lived there, here's this spot and you can push your boat out and go fishing. And I expected to see all this nice white sand like you see at the beach. But it's not. It's like gravel and small stone. And there's shrubs all around it. It's not dried up. But there's small trees and grasses growing all around the sea. And there are openings where you can get down to the water, but the rest of it's overgrown. And at that location, right across from this church, there's a statue. And it's a statue of Peter kneeling down and Jesus with his hand on Peter, touching him. And Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, of course I love you." And then a second time, Jesus says to him, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And then a third time, matching the three denials that Peter made, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And Peter, kneeling there, says, "Of course, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus forgives him. Jesus touches him and forgives him. That's the same forgiveness that we get every time we have the opportunity to confess our sins. It's that power of asking for forgiveness and in the process acknowledging that we love Jesus, that we accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we are saying, "Yes, we were wrong. We made mistakes." And Jesus reaches out touches us and forgives us. What we learn from that is we need to listen, just like the instructions from God. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to be aware in our lives how we are being called and to what we are being called. And we need to listen. We need to step out in faith, and we need to take what we are told and live into it. Amen.